B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery in Delhi, where famous tomato pie, hoagie, party, cheese, every bit is good. You know, it is a football Friday, but we wanted to start the 3 o'clock hour with a little smile on our face. You know, a little fanfare. A little loosening up, because this great comedian is going to be in Royersford on Sunday. And, of course, she is the official comedian of the Mike Missinelli Show. This is, I think, her third appearance. She's funny, she's smart, she's woke, and she's hot. That's like a grand slam. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Glaser. Nikki!
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Smart, funny, woke, hot? Is that what you said?
That's the grand slam right there.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. All I heard was hot, really. I don't know the first three you said. I don't really care.
All right. So you're in the Philadelphia area for the first time in how long?
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, probably over a year. It's time doesn't really make sense anymore. So it could have been 5 years. It could have been 5 months. But it's definitely been a while. And it's an outdoor show, which makes everyone feel safe and good. And it's different and weird. And that's what I'm loving about these outdoor shows, is that I'm going to be honest with you. Most shows kind of all blend together, no matter where you are. I mean, I'm just someone who, like, I have as good of a show as possible, but they all kind of seem the same. But you never forget an outdoor show. So this is one show that I definitely will, like, remember for the rest of my life, because hopefully we just don't have to do this much anymore.
Well, that's cool. It's going to be outdoors. I wasn't aware of that. So I guess there's going to be more people. That you'll be able to have more people. And they added another show, I understand.
Yeah, I'm a big deal. I've worked very hard to maintain relevance during this time away, where I've been living in St. Louis with my parents. It's nice to know that I've sold out. I think there's maybe some tickets available that they've, like, added so they can squeeze some more. They've made more space, you know, outside. It's like, it's so nice that people care to come see me. And I've been writing a lot of new material, and I've got a lot to say, and it's just going to be really fun. I'm excited to perform again.
This is going to be awesome, because is this part of an Eastern swing that you're doing, or have you moved back to New York?
Well, it's the very beginning of me trying out the East Coast again. So I'm coming out for this show, and then I'm headed to New York City, where I used to live before this all went down. And I haven't been back there since March. And so I'm going back to New York just to see how it feels. And then I might end up just, like, moving back there. But I've got one foot in St. Louis near my family. I'm just waiting, you know, I don't know where I belong right now. I feel like a lot of people feel that way, of just this limbo of, like, what do I do next? So kind of just living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, you have done a lot of shows, right? You have been traveling to do shows.
Yeah, I did a little bit of an outdoor run in July, and then I have been doing some indoor shows around the Midwest, because they've found a way to social distance inside, and I've been going on stage with a mask, which is like running with a weighted vest. I mean, it's a lot harder to get laughs, but that's what I've been training with, and now I get to take the mask off, and the jokes get to really, I really get to see how they work this Sunday.
You've been doing the shows with the mask on?
Yeah, it's been really weird. I don't have to, but if the audience has to be in a mask, I just feel weird not being in a mask. You know how that feeling when people around you have a mask and you don't have one on?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You just feel awkward. And it is kind of a challenge. It's a weird challenge to be able to get people to laugh just using your eyes. I mean, I've really gotten into much bigger gestures and act outs, and I've started using props. Just kidding.
Yeah, because you're big on facial expressions. I mean, that's one of the keys.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was hard for a while, because I had Botox in, like, probably February, because I didn't know the only half of my face was going to be able to be used to communicate for most of the year. So the Botox is just drained out, so I was able to, like, not look like a total sociopath walking around with a mask and just, like, a blank stare. So my forehead, my washboard forehead is back. I have wrinkles back. I have expressions back. And, so it definitely helps for comedy to be able to move your face.
Okay. So, here's the question. Where have you gone in your head these days to find funny? Because, ooh, you know, your act is a lot about relationships and a lot about, mm-hmm, things in life that you spot, and observations and all this stuff. Where have you gone?
Yeah, gone to some dark places, Mike. It's gotten real dark. I've been, it's been crazy during this time. I think I've been very depressed. I've been anxious. I've been all over the place. I've had a wide range of feelings, and comedy is such a great way to process those. But you're right about relationships. Like, the fact that I've lived with my parents, you know, so there's not been any attempt to actually, like, have a boy over or, like, have a man in my life. But there's been, like, dating things here and there, like, you know, FaceTime with guys or just being on these apps just to match with someone and get validation and then never follow up and ghost them. Like, there's been stories here and there. But in terms of my act being, like, very highly sexual, like it usually is, I'm kind of known as, like, a sex comic. To be honest, I haven't had sex since June of 2019. So right now I'm talking about the lack of sex in my life on stage as opposed to... just like, and kind of just reminiscing about it and thinking about, like, oh, is it still the same? Like, I'm just writing from whatever perspective I'm living. I'm always honest up there, and I try to just be as unfiltered as possible, even when I have a mask on. Wow. It's literally filtering things.
June 2019. Natalie, yeah, June 2019? What do you think?
What?
Well, I'm asking, like, what would be your reaction to that? June 2019.
Yeah, Natalie, how
do you feel about that?
I mean,
I don't want to ask you if you had sex since June 2019, but what could you do that?
I mean, you know, it's all personal preference and Godspeed, Nikki. I'm here for you.
I can't sex with someone that I don't love. It's like a new rule I have for myself so that I don't get abandoned by men. And if you have sex with them too soon, they don't like you anymore. It's just happened too many times. So
yeah, I don't think that's correct.
Someone loves me.
I dispute
and
that.
No one, I don't love anyone. And so I just refuse to have sex. And it really sucks. I mean, I'll probably give up at some point with this rule, but that's kind of where I found myself. I mean, I definitely could have sex if I want to.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah, it's a choice, but it's becoming hard to handle.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It makes sense.
I just can't keep going.
You don't have time to fall in love, and therefore, if you're connecting sex to love, you're in oblivion.
Yes, and I'm unavailable emotionally as well, so I'm not even letting anyone in to try to fall in love with. So it's very complex.
Yeah,
and
this is going to be an interesting act then, because now you're pivoting here. So I'm curious to know what's up.
It is a pivot. I'm just trying to figure things out. I mean, I'm 36. I'm single. I have had, like, really one boyfriend in my life. I'm probably gay. Like, I don't really know what's happening anymore. My sister did go. I went on a walk with my sister the other day, and she literally did go, like, what about dating women? And I go, oh, is that where I'm at, where my family is, like, whispering behind closed doors that I might be gay?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's how long I've been single. And no, I'm not. And yes, I'm open to it.
I'm smelling that's going to be party act on Sunday. So let me ask you about this, because I've been watching this, and I'm sure you have too. The Comedy Store is on Showtime, that documentary. And the first scene of it is a shot of the Comedy Store. And you're on the marquee in the very first scene. And
nice.
Yes. So you haven't seen it yet.
No, I don't like watching things that I'm on. I really have a hard time watching myself.
Yeah, it's you're not on good. Yet.
Well,
you're not on it.
Okay,
so
good.
It traces the start of it and what comedians had to do to get in that place.
Yeah.
And it goes way back. I mean, you're talking about the Letterman days and the Leno days and all that kind of stuff on how you had to wait in line to get a spot, and it was crazy. And now it looks like the comedy scene is kind of the same. So, like, you obviously have appeared there.
That's my favorite club, probably.
All right. How did you get there? Because they were describing the old time guys. It was really hard unless that Mitzi sure liked you and put you in a spot. So what is it now?
Well, Mitzi is no longer running the place. I mean, she's passed.
Yes.
But even when I was trying to get in there, I lived in L.A., you know, 17 years ago, and I was trying to break into there. And you just don't, you would just go to the open mics and maybe get on stage. And then you just, you kind of have to just become famous or either work there a really long time as like a, like you work behind the scenes. There's a girl, Punky Johnson, I think, is her name, that just is, became a SNL cast member this season.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking you. In February, she gave me a club soda, like, from behind the bar. Like, she was working at the comedy store, like, paying her dues behind the bar, you know, working as a like, there's guys doing doorman. But for me, I didn't ever want to get a day job there. I just couldn't do that. I was like nannying. So I just moved out of LA eventually because it was too hard to get in there. And then I went and made a career for myself, like kind of out of New York. And then by the time I moved back to Los Angeles, I had enough of a career that I was able to get spots there. But they don't just let you up just because you're famous. I mean, it really isn't like that. You people have to vouch for you, and then you have to consistently kill and be a cool person to hang out with.
And you don't have a lot of time to kill, right? When you get a spot.
Well, no, yeah, you do. I mean, you have 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's enough time to kill.
Okay.
You gotta really bring it though. It's like every night could be an audition. I'm comfortable enough there now that I can kind of get up there and take out my notes and kind of mess around, and I don't need it to be like this killer set every single time. But, you know, when you're first in there, you can't take any risks. It is just like, it's white knuckling it, just trying to do your best. And it's a lot of pressure, but, now it's very comfortable, and I love it there.
Well, you should definitely see this. I don't know if they interviewed for you. It's a long-running series. In the first episode, a lot of it's Freddie Prinze and how he wanted to kill John Travolta when he was hanging out with J.J. Walker and went to Travolta's apartment where Freddie Prinze shot three arrows into his door.
Oh, my God.
There's
a lot of history there. It's still, like, it's like a haunted house of Hollywood. It's really cool. There's just, like, all these green rooms that these guys were doing coke off the mirror in there. It's the same table with a mirror on it. It's just, like, there's a lot of drug-addled ghosts walking around that place.
Yeah, it's very cool. Listen, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate you coming on. And in Royersford, Sunday night, two shows, 5 and 8. At Soul Joles outdoors.
Yeah, they got a lot of outdoor shows.
There are a few tickets available for the second show for both shows.
Great.
Okay,
there
you go. I actually talked to Joel today, Nikki.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Joel. It's really a Joel. Yeah,
so, oh my God.
Joel's the guy.
Does he have soul?
I assume he does.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet him.
All right. We'll talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
All right,
good luck.
Guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There she is. Nikki Glaser, Comcast Business Hotline. Yep. Soul Joel.
I love her.
Yeah. She's cool.
She's one of my faves.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wish I could go see her.
Well,
I mean, I plan Sunday.
There you go.
Yeah.
Eagles. So do I. Henry Hill.
Yeah. Henry Hill. That's a good one.
You're Henry Hill?
Yeah.
Cabin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.